CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Thursday. Thursday, the 20th of October. Gee. So they had a big debate in America in Las Vegas, which tells you the whole story. The big show in Las Vegas, the showdown. Hillary Clinton in the red corner versus Donald Trump in the blue corner. Yes, what an exciting debate, apparently. I haven't watched any of it, but that's what people are telling me. Good morning, Mubs. Morning, Ben. Morning, Flax. Morning to you today as you wake up and get your day started with us. Whew. Whew. Yesterday, what did I do yesterday? Oh, I attended that debate. Not even a debate. It was more like a presentation on social media and racism and South Africa and where we're at and everything else. And you know, it turns out we're better off than America and Britain.
In terms of what?
Like the amount of bigotry online. We are much less bigoted a country than
really?
America. Yeah, way less. You wouldn't think so, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I would think that we're equally as bad as those countries that you've mentioned.
I would say we have our own very unique bigotry, which has morphed into something not so obvious.
No. Actually, we're not even in the top 10.
Wow.
Like, Britain and America are right up there. I mean, if you look at the kind of racial slurs and general nastiness that goes on online, America is way ahead of everyone. Not just because there are more people on the internet there.
But who gets to make that call?
It's researched. They basically look up the number of pejorative terms, keywords online, the nasty things people are saying to each other, and then they compare them.
Yeah, but they're not taking...
Do you want us to win, Mubs?
No. They're not taking into account language barriers, for example. So if somebody is being a bigot in their mother tongue, not everybody's going to be aware what's being said.
Those are included too, because this is a local company.
Oh, okay.
So they include every kind of ugly word you could imagine in their keywords. You know, they can't take into consideration, like, nasty ideologies, because that requires more than keywords. But in terms of just blatant, rude, despicable bigotry on ordinary social media, we're not even in the top 10.
So we don't have, like, lots of words saying, like, crooked and nasty.
No, we have lots of those. We're talking racial epithets.
Okay. Well, then, if they can work that out by country, do they also work out, like, top 10 worst profiles and stuff like that? Like, this guy here is in the top 10. This is what he always says.
Yeah, I wonder if they rank the most racist people on social media.
That
but
would
you
be
see,
funny.
A lot of those people get banned. They get shut down by Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So they never last long. They can't build a reputation if that's what they're building it on. Anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting. And how was your day? What did you get done? Mubs?
What'd you do?
Oh, I'm busy. I'm doing admin-related stuff. So just signing off of documents.
No.
Signing up to different...
I heard you and Ben both...
Yeah, it's all very boring.
Yeah, it was actually a really big...
terribly boring
big
stuff.
Bonding moment yesterday. My buddy and I both made big life choices.
I walked past the table that you two were at. You were both on the phone to, like, health insurance people and medical aid people, and it was just awful.
I'm just so tired of being, what's the word? Let's go for something light.
Suckered.
Fisted.
Oh, wow. What an interesting choice of word.
Yeah, that's what I feel like I'm getting medically, Gareth, because I'm quite a healthy person normally. I don't need medication, all these other kind of things. I just need, like, you know, things hit the fan cover.
Right, so like a hospital plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what most people need.
Those are the add-ons and shiny things you don't need in life, but you get kind of coerced into having or wanting.
Yeah, that's the sound of Ben being fisted by his medical aid.
The last 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you see, I'm the opposite of Ben. I am not healthy at all, and I'm on medication every day of my life. So, yeah, it was that kind of stuff.
Oh. Listen to how adult this conversation is and how boring.
That's what happens when you get old.
All right. Did you have to fight with anyone on the phone?
No.
No. Well, I haven't. Well, like, the whole breakup conversation, that's still coming with my current insurer.
Ah.
But they, you know, it's fine. I feel nothing. It's going to be easy for me.
I had a fight with someone on the phone. Well, not really a fight. This woman with a very squeaky voice called me from one of the insurance companies. And she's like, this person, who's not even a friend of mine, I sort of know them. They're probably a friend of my parents. This person has got an amazing opportunity to pass on a discount to two of his friends. I'm thinking, really, this friend of my dad's is going to pass on his discount to me? What a bullshit story. So I listened to her for a while, but she's got the squeakiest voice you've ever heard. And eventually she says, so would you like to take advantage of this incredible opportunity? And I felt bad for her, because I always do for people who work in call centers. It's a thankless, horrible task. It really must be one of the worst jobs.
Yeah, it can't be, because it can't be nice. You sit in the same place, and you're all on phones.
I mean, is it possible ever that you get home after a day of work at the call center and you go, oh, that was a great day? Ever? Is there ever going to be a great day at the call center?
Yeah, when it burns down and you're on full pay for the rest of the month. I imagine that's it.
Plus, you have to deal with people like us. I mean, we're not always...
When it burns down.
You know, we're not... you know, sometimes people are rude to call center agents on the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't ask for that. They don't deserve that.
Or if they're slightly deaf and they keep going, huh? You know, people who can't hear very well, they never say, excuse me, can you say that again? They always go, huh? What? They're so short. Such coarse individuals.
Flex, could there be a worse job in the world than working at a call center trying to sell insurance? I mean, come on, that must be that's the suckiest job, right?
There's that thing called cold calling. I think that's on par with that.
Yeah.
Where you go into work, they give you a list of 1,000 numbers, you phone everyone, they put the phone down on you, and then you go home at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, what a depressing life that would be, huh?
Yeah, I'd hate that job.
And you'd have to clock in and out because they want to see how many hours you do.
And how many phone calls you make.
Oh.
And then how many actually, like,
No.
Do you think those people have success?
Not today.
In life or in their job?
One call. Is it possible they have one call that comes through and that they go, sure, I'll buy that. Sure, I got some extra cash lying around. What the hell? It sounds good to me. Huh? Does that ever happen?
But the margins must be pretty good if you've got someone who's being paid to run a phone line. And, yeah, I mean, they probably work on like a model of a 12% success rate, and even that's worth their while.
Oh, that's horrible. That's just horrible. I see Casper De Vries is coming onto the show tomorrow. What's that all about? Is that to promote his new show that he's doing?
Yes.
Ah, excellent. Okay, that sounds good. By the way, Justice Malala will be in this morning to talk the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Everything that's going on in politics that we need to talk about at the moment. Seems the president's out of ideas on how to deal with students and universities. He's actually asking people, what can I do? Well, maybe that's humble. Maybe that's the right move, huh?
So he's basically lost faith in Blade, so now he's... this is funny. Because he literally passed the buck to him, hoping he would have all the ideas, being the Minister of Higher Education.
Right. Now listen to this. I just got this from Innes. He's put together a poster of our movie that we're going to make called Deplorable Me. And it says, starring Silvio Berlusconi, Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, and Jacob Gedleyazizuma. Special appearances by Bill Cosby and Bernie Ecclestone.
That's fantastic.
Groping, grabbing, and over 60, Deplorable Me. 4 leaders, 1 deplorable weekend. And then there's a picture of the 4 of them. Coming soon to theaters near you. And it says it's age-restricted, directed by me. Touch Central Production, soundtrack, SABC Praise Choir. Limited Photoshop skills by Innes. Dude, that's beautiful. We got to put that up on the site. Flax, will you send me a digital version of that? Yeah, no, I'll just put it up on Cliff Central and touchcentral.com and .fm. All right, so what's everybody up to? I mean, it's 6:15. Let's get the day started. Everybody take a big deep breath, all right? We need to do this to start the day. There's an app on my phone called Breathe, believe it or not.
Oh.
Someone told me to try it. Look, I'm not going to pretend it's really important. And that I'm doing it every time, but every time I do it, I feel better.
Every time you do what?
Woosa.
Okay.
To take a deep breath. We don't breathe properly. Number one rule of living is to breathe properly.
Yes, we do. We do it every day of our lives to stay alive.
Our breathing is very shallow. You know what I mean? You're rushing for the next breath. Everybody take a big, deep breath. Fill your lungs up to capacity. They want to burst out of your chest. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Hey, how's that for a nice song for a morning? It's Kanye West with Good Morning. That's happy. It's the sort of thing you want to hear in the morning.
Appropriate.
Kanye telling you good morning.
And a morning show.
That's how it feels for Kim every morning. Good morning. What if he rolls over and looks at her and goes, good morning, like that, every day?
Seacrest sleeps between them.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah, so that's true.
I mean, he might not do it every day.
And I think he scripts what they say to each other when they...
Imagine waking up and little Ryan Seacrest pops his head up between the sheets and goes, oh, hi, guys, I'm here.
Well, in that house, imagine that you wake up in the morning and you can't even, like, exhale or have your morning fart or whatever, and like, Seacrest got a script in your door. And this is your life today.
Right.
And they go,
so many people want to be the Kardashians, but would you really want to be followed by cameras all day and have every aspect of your family life, your personal relationships, being filmed? Would you like that?
They don't get followed all day by cameras. They have, I think, maybe 2 or 3 days a week where the cameras come.
Then
that's where they sort of script a few things or two.
Well, they certainly try to make it look like they're doing it all the time, right?
No, that's all in post-production, though, so it's very well edited.
Yeah, that's paying a crack team of editors, so that's a good point.
That's what makes it quite difficult to understand or believe, right? If you are documenting the life of somebody, but you're only going to be there for 2-3 days, you're telling me that that's not complete orchestrated.
What if you miss out on the important days?
Exactly. They're going to go, oh, Ryan, you never believe what happened yesterday. It's like, okay, cool, we're going to reenact that tomorrow. And if you can just maybe do it with a smaller shirt on.
Good point. All right, everybody. Should we get stuck into some of the stuff that's going on? I see Thabo Dlamini was denied bail yesterday. I heard that while I was at this conference. They're not letting him out, huh?
Yeah, they're not letting him out. I'd really love to hear from actual legal experts. Because... then what subsequently happened on Twitter yesterday was, you know, people were saying it doesn't make sense that he was denied bail. It's not as if, you know, he's been charged with murder, premeditated murder or something like that. So people were saying, you know, it sounds like political interference and all of that. So legally, I'd love to hear whether or not this is untoward in any way.
Well, apparently the judge had a problem with him because he wasn't honest. He didn't tell the truth about anything. He didn't tell the truth about his test that he was supposed to get. You know, one of the reasons he needed to go out and bail and needed to get out was because he had a test to write, apparently. Remember?
Okay.
It turns out he's not even enrolled for that course. So he was bullshitting.
But I mean, is he a student, though? Because this is what we discovered the other day, right? He's doing his master's.
He's doing a master's, apparently. And it's being paid for by the Gauteng Education Department, which he didn't want anyone to know. It's just a disaster. The guy is just a disaster. He's a big fuck-up from beginning to end. And you know what? It's the story of so many people's lives. He grew up without a dad. His mom had to raise him. They moved from Swaziland to Mpumalanga, if his story is to be believed. And now he's at varsity, but he's managed to put together a life for himself. He's got into a course. He's doing his master's now, which means he has a degree already. And he didn't pay for any of that. So you would think this guy would be happy about where he's got in life, considering where he comes from. Right? Instead, he's trying to burn down the university that he got his degree from. Because this is his road to political relevance. So the judge said, no, I'm sorry, you weren't honest with us, so I can't trust you. So how do we know you're not going to run away? Back to jail until we hear your case. So he's back in the jail.
Well, Banyaza Lusufi apparently revealed yesterday that they are now, as a department, going to have to review this alleged financial support that they're giving to Dlamini. So, You know, you dig around enough and you make a big hype about something, and then people will be forced to...
They'll look into your affairs.
They'll have to look into things and then have to reevaluate their position on the matter.
And I'll tell you what, it's not easy. Would you want someone going to this level of detail in your own personal life?
Never.
If you were called up, because you see, the court can do this, and the prosecutors in this case will look for every piece of information to make it look like he's a bad guy. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. They're not going into what he actually was involved in. They've got video footage of him committing violent acts. They've got lots of evidence in terms of witnesses. So he's in big trouble, and he doesn't even realize this. He thought, oh, well, we'll just protest. You know, we'll just keep driving this hard line. And clearly now he's going to have to account for everything that he's done, and it might not be that easy.
I don't know that he doesn't realize it. You know, sometimes people like the idea of being martyrs.
Oh, yeah. So in other words, he'll go down for what he's done.
And there are so many students who view Dlamini in exactly that light, you know. For them, he's their hero. So...
I just wonder about all these student leaders. I really do wonder what's in it for them, because a lot of them already have bursaries and already are being paid for. And if they're doing it for others and it's pure altruism, I'm very suspicious, because there aren't a lot of people like that in the world. And generally, they tend not to be the kind of people who lead violent protests. But here are a couple of things that you want to know about him. He's 30 years old, so he's not even... student age, really. 30 is kind of, you know, you should be nearing the end of your time at varsity.
No, man.
Come on, you should.
There's no age limit for studying. People go back to school in their 40s and 50s if they can.
When he was 10, he moved to KwaMhlushwa Township in Mpumalanga. He is the father of two. He has a one-year-old and a four-month-old. He's a former WITS SRC president. He's a member of the ANC. He has no previous convictions. He has 2 degrees. And he's currently doing his third. He's not doing a master's, he's doing a post-grad LLB. His mother works for WITS. Huh? His whole world is around this university. He obtained a South African citizenship in 2014. He applied to study at the University of Pretoria, but never studied there. He was raised by an aunt and moved in with his biological mother at a later stage. In 2014, he admitted to lying about being a Sisulu. And in 2015, he claimed to love Adolf Hitler. So, just a terrific guy all around.
I did see one tweet yesterday, somebody saying that he must, this person is Swati, and they were saying that they don't want to claim him in any way whatsoever. He's a South African, he's not from Swaziland.
Right.
They don't want him, was basically what the tweet was saying.
Right. Okay, let's get into some news. It is time for the headlines with Mabale. That's coming up next.
Do you want to be the next First Lady of the Touchdown?
Touch Central is looking for the First Lady of the Touchdown. Simply download the Touch Central app. Send us a message through the Touch Central app.
And listen in
every day between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday from the 4th of October till the 4th of November 2016. For more T's and C's, go to the Touch Central website.
TouchCentral.fm.
Mubs with the headlines.
Oh, okay. Water and Sanitation Minister Nomvula Mokonyane has warned that there is a consistent drop of 0.7% per week when it comes to our dams in South Africa. All provinces reflect a decline in dam levels. The minister has also expressed that the seasonal outlook for rain is not looking too promising. And according to her spokesperson, it's becoming more and more serious every day, this water situation of ours. Remember yesterday I told you about how Cape Town are considering implementing tariffs and, you know, punishing people for not being responsible with their water use.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be the message by government, is that we as citizens of this country need to be more responsible with the way that we use water.
Yeah, but so do the governments, and governments in different provinces. If you look at how much wasted water there is, I mean, I see leaks on streets, massive, massive leaks out there on public roads because of old pipes or because of burst pipes or whatever. And they only get fixed like a day later. You know how many millions of liters of water are being wasted?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not just us. I mean, really, you think someone washing their car with a hose pipe is going to make as much difference as a huge municipal water main that's burst? Come on.
Well, basically, we're in a bad place, is what her ministry was saying yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, with regards to our new public protector, first on her agenda, as role of public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, is focusing on the issue of funding for her office. Yesterday, she told MPs that she will not seek donor funding for her office after it emerged that her predecessor, Tulima Donsela, had secured up to $500,000 from USAID. MPs seem to be against the idea of receiving foreign donors or of having foreign donors because they say that it puts the credibility of the Office of the Public Protector, it compromises it.
Mm.
So Busisiwe Mkhwebane said, okay, then that's fine. We're done with foreign donors. I'm going to do away with that. But then what she subsequently done is to ask for more funding from government, which is something that Tulima Donsela had apparently been doing throughout her entire reign. But guess who didn't give her the money that she needed?
So now they'll give her the money?
Well, I don't know, because whenever Tulima Donsela requested more funding from government, they never really adhered to her request. So I don't know if they'll suddenly make funds available for Busisiwe Mkhwebane. But yeah, she's done away with donors, and she says that, you know, they'll no longer be accepting money from foreign entities.
Well, that's probably a good thing. Right, then they can't say that she's being influenced from outside of the borders.
She also says that she's going to abandon the use of consultants and to help compile the state capture report. Madonsela had used the services of PricewaterhouseCoopers and, you know, a whole bunch of academics as well. So Mkhwebane says that, okay, well, then we're going to do away with the use of consultants as well then.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that like a bit of a slap in the face to Tuli? Like she says, oh, she used consultants?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Surely two different people will have different ways of running the same office.
Mm-hmm.
We wait and see. Now, you mentioned the U.S. elections, and Donald Trump has refused to say that he will respect an eventual Hillary Clinton victory in the U.S. presidential race.
So what? If you don't win, you're going to have a little hissy fit and be a whiny little bitch?
Well, he's already having a hissy fit, Gareth. He's the victim here, you see. Trump's argument yesterday was that the media are attempting to rig the vote. I think that actually comes out of the Politics 101 handbook. Every politician in the history of all existence at some point or another has blamed the media for making them look bad.
Okay, so we're in the media.
So Donald Trump says that it's the media is rigging his chance to win, and the media are making him look bad. So he's a victim here. He said the media is so dishonest and so corrupt, and the pile-on is amazing.
You know,
Politics 101, I think. At some point, you have to blame somebody else for making you look bad.
I would love to have this discussion about how the media... I mean, I've never got together with other editors of newspapers or other online digital people in the media business. We don't even know who each other are, necessarily. I mean, if you wanted to orchestrate a vast conspiracy where every media outlet is busy talking to each other going, okay, we've definitely got to do whatever we can to smear Trump. What if they just all share the same idea that you might ruin the whole world?
Yeah, I fancy that.
Imagine that happened. Wouldn't that be fascinating? Do you want to hear what the Daily Show says about this?
Speaking of Batman, America's Joker has been having a tough time on the campaign trail recently.
It's Trevor, who's in the country this weekend.
It seems like every woman has accused him of shaking hands with their vaginas. Paul Ryan asked someone else to spot him at the gym, and in the presidential race, his numbers have fallen faster than Hillary at a 9/11 memorial. At this rate, you realize Hillary doesn't have to do anything to beat Donald Trump. She just has to run out the clock. She should just sit in a tree like Rue in the Hunger Games, just waiting for everything to finish. Just like Rue looking at Hillary going... And Rue's like, stop pandering, Hillary. Stop it. Now, there's a reason everything is going wrong for Donald Trump. It's because he's a terrible man who's done terrible things and has a terrible plan for the country. But why is he rarely losing?
This whole election is being rigged.
It's rigged like you've never seen before.
The whole thing is one big fix.
Our system is rigged. You know it, they know it, I know it, and pretty much the whole world knows it.
Yes, the whole world knows it. If you went to a remote village in Nigeria and said, "What do you guys know about America?" they'd say, "Your elections are rigged." And Chipotle makes you shit for days. That is what we know, huh? Just so you know, Trump thinks everything in the world is rigged. For instance, in 2012, he thought Mitt Romney lost because the election was rigged. He also tweeted that the Electoral College wasn't legit. And when The Apprentice lost the Emmy to The Amazing Race, he said that the whole process was also rigged, which is just stupid. Of course, it was going to win. It had the word amazing in it. You should have called your show The Amazing Apprentice. That's your fault, Donald Trump. And now, obviously, making a claim that the U.S. presidential election is rigged is a very serious and unprecedented thing to do. And it poisons the well for anyone who becomes president. But luckily, Trump has offered specific evidence of these crimes.
Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of U.S. sovereignty.
Okay, wait. So let me get this straight. Hillary's been running for 20 years just so that when she finally gets power, she can hand it over to the banks? Clearly you haven't met Hillary. Hillary's been thirsty for the White House so much that every time she eats a turkey sandwich, she pardons it first. She's been so thirsty for the White House, every Halloween she goes as the sitting president. That's what she does. And by the way, these past couple of years have been a little tricky for her. It's been a tough one to pull off. By the way, if you're not into vaguely anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, don't worry. Trump has a choose-your-own-adventure of who's rigging the election. And one of his more popular stories is that black people have stopped stealing stereos, and now they're stealing votes.
We have to make sure that this election is not stolen from us and is not taken away from us. Go and watch these polling places. I hear too many stories about Pennsylvania, certain areas. And we can't lose an election because of you know what I'm talking about.
What? Oh, nicely played, Donald. Yeah, if that speech was a car, the N-word was right in the middle of the road, and Donald swerved around it at the last section. We can't lose an election because of you know what I'm talking about. You know. Here's a quick question. If you're genuinely trying to warn America about one of the greatest scandals ever, why wouldn't you just say what you're talking about? Why would you allude to it and beat around the bush? Fire! Fire! Where? You know where. You know. So he's blamed the banks, he's blamed the blacks, but the thing he's blamed the most is the thing he can't live without.
The election is being rigged by corrupt media.
The corrupt media is trying to do everything in their power.
Here we go.
To stop our movement.
The crooked Hillary Clinton campaign. And the mainstream media, which they control and use quite viciously.
Oh, Donald Trump. The media is not rigged against you. They're just recording what you say and playing it back. That's all it is.
Isn't that the truth?
If anything, you're rigging your own campaign. Does Trump not realize that he's the one on TV saying the things that make him look bad? Maybe, you know, we laugh at him, but maybe he doesn't realize. Maybe he watches TV going, "Who's that guy? He makes me look like shit." Like, maybe Donald Trump is like those animals who don't recognize themselves in a mirror.
He showed a video there of a gorilla running up against a mirror because it recognizes another gorilla. Ah, it's great. Well done, Trevor. That's nice. Yeah, so he's in Joburg this weekend. He's coming to the Mamas. He's the host of the Mama Awards.
Yeah,
very cool. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben and see what's going on over there. Ben, what are the headlines today?
Got big nights of Champions League football yesterday. All the big favourites kind of had their fill of goals and humiliating the other ones. But then the Besiktas these plucky little bastards managed to beat Napoli away. That was the big result from the surprise aspect.
Yeah.
Dynamo Kiev, they went down 2-0 to Benfica at home. Paris Saint-Germain, they were far too good for FC Basel at home, 3-0. Celtic, they lost to Borussia Mönchengladbach, 2-0. Uh-huh. Barcelona absolutely hammered Pep Guardiola's Man City, 4-0. Messi with a hat-trick there. So Pep Guardiola's gone from this continental heartthrob to just some bald guy in the middle of England. I mean, he's lost three now. Oh, maybe, yeah. So they started so well, but now it's just, well, average. FC Rostov, they lost to Atletico Madrid, who remain unbeaten in the competition. Bayern Munich, 4-1 over PSV, and Arsenal, 6 of the best against Ludogorets Razgrad.
Hmm.
Yeah. Telkom knockout from last night, Cape Town City and Celtic. Well, they were destined for penalties. It was all going very, very badly for both sides. And then it got even worse for Celtics. 112th minute, they got a red card. And with that, Cape Town City scored 2 quick goals. So they go through. Great story for the Cape Town team. Yeah, Bursa Cup, okay. So that's what New Zealand and Australia play.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of used to be part of the Tri Nations, which is kind of part of the Rugby Championship. New Zealand have announced their team. They've made a few changes from after mauling the Springboks. Julian Sevier is the big one that comes back. He's on the left wing. The Aussies, well, they're dicking around, really. They believe they're going to play this waiting game. I mean, just prolong the inevitable, why don't you? You're going to lose. Name your team. Let's get on with it. So we all think that New Zealand rugby is amazing, right? Everything's perfect. Well, there's an undercurrent of dodginess that's happening around there.
Ooh.
And many women are starting to speak out about this machoism that is All Black rugby.
Oh.
We've got teams that are demeaning strippers on team building days.
How dare they?
We've got guys fighting in the streets. There's been a history of women abuse. And, of course, Aaron Smith having sex in a toilet while on All Black duty. Other players getting caught with strippers when they should be on training camps. So it's becoming a real undercurrent of shame, this whole thing. So as much as we see New Zealand's rugby players as the absolute gods, people are starting to get really upset about all this in New Zealand. And some women are coming out and saying, well, it
shame.
Needs to... The culture
shame.
Needs to change, because at the moment, women are seen
shame.
As people who wash the dishes and wash the uniforms.
Shame.
They're not seen as coaches or decision
shame.
Makers.
That's terrible, man.
So there's a real undercurrent of something else in New Zealand rugby. Of course, that means nothing right now because they're about to beat Australia by 25 points. More on that tomorrow. Curry Cup, well, it looks like we'll have some rain in Bloemfontein, which is going to make the Curry Cup final a little bit closer, which could bring in someone like Roelof Smit. Now, he's been this standout star for the Bulls recently. He's about 23 years old, he's very young, and he's a classic fetcher in that he's got over 20 turnovers, of which he's conceded just one penalty. Now, this is a real, real quality here, so don't be surprised if you see this guy a little more often in the future. And this is his big chance to shine, Roelof Smit. But yeah, more about the Curry Cup tomorrow as well, as the teams get announced.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, lots of cricket on at the moment. We've got Bangladesh and England, they're going at it. So Bangladesh isn't a great place to tour, but that is where England are right now. They're going to play a couple of tests there, and then they've got a whopping 5 test series against India. So basically, the English players are going to be eating mostly spicy foods and questioning their dietary choices when it comes to toilet time. That is a long time to be in the subcontinent, and it's already started off quite ropily. 21-2
Oh,
England. They won the toss, they chose to bat, and both Alistair Cook and some other guy are back in the hut already. Alistair Cook is now the most capped English player of all time, overtaking Alex Stewart. He's playing his 134th test.
Huh.
But he's 21-2, his team is, after he's just been dismissed for 4. Yesterday I made a mistake. India are playing New Zealand today. So you can catch that one today. That's all your sport for this hour. More in the next.
All right. Thank you, Ben. When we come back in a second or two, we'll check in with Anthea on the money markets and the money shot. Good morning. It's Thursday. TouchCentral.fm, CliffCentral.com. Don't forget Justice Malala coming up with The Burning Platform just after 7 o'clock. That's brought to you by Nando's. Ben coughing because he's ill, though. Very nice. It is time to check in with Anthea Gardner, see what's going on in the world of money. Yes, she works hard for the money.
Do it.
I don't believe we've ever actually played the original before.
We have, I think, once or twice.
Oh, okay. Well, here it is. Donna Summer. The original artist who did She Works Hard for the Money. Not Anthea Gardner, as many suspect. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
What's up?
Yeah, so we had a really good day yesterday. Rand held steady below 14 against the dollar. Volatile as always. I mean, that's almost a given these days. But at least it closed stronger. And on top of that, the stock market managed a 1% higher close. So really good. All indices, sure, even gold, oddly enough, were higher. Yeah, so when sentiment is strong, the fundamentals seem to go out the window. And as long as sentiment is on the upside, I'm actually okay with it. I'll take it.
Well, you know, it's been a while since we've had an up day.
A couple of up days, huh?
Yeah.
And the market's back in love with Naspers, I'm happy to report. The share was up 3%, so it's now trading above 2,300 rand a share. And while I've got your ear, can I just say I'd like to see a 2,500 rand level, please,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
Sure. That would be very nice.
And then even MTN had a little bounce yesterday, but this share, I'm afraid, is still trading below 110 rand a share. I mean, the last time it traded this low was 6 years ago. And so I actually just took having a quick look at the charts this morning. So if you compare MTN to the broader market, where the MTN share is flat since June 2010, so 6 years ago, the all share has doubled. So if you'd put your money in MTN, you'd come out with the same, actually in real terms, because of inflation, you would have actually seen your money eroded. Whereas if you put it in the index, you would have doubled your money. Hmm. If you'd put it in Naspers for the same period, you would have increased your investment by over 800%.
Wow.
I mean, okay, let's just put some perspective here, though. If you'd invested in the resources sector, you'd have lost 30%, though, for the same period.
Yeah, in other words, look, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but if you are going to, make sure it's the right basket.
Indeed. And stock picking, I think, definitely is the way to go. You know, I think, as you kind of can see from the numbers, if you'd chosen an MTN and, sorry, a Naspers and maybe a ShopRite or a couple of other shares, you would have done well, whereas MTN or resources, maybe not that great. And then in macro news, our CPI inflation, which is our consumer inflation, came in a bit higher than expected. Not by much. I mean, I was hoping for 5.7, but it came in at 6.1%, which is above the upper target level of 6%. But I don't think the SARB are going to worry about it too much. You know, I don't think they're going to be too concerned that it's breached their 6% level and now they have to raise interest rates. So I think we're okay. I think the real scary number, unfortunately, in that 6.1% is still food inflation, which came in at 11.6%.
Sure. And
so, yeah, that's got to hurt the consumer. You know, so if clothing or kind of discretionary other spend increases, you can cut back, but I think it's hard to cut back on food. So if you're having to suddenly pay up 12% more for your food, that's got to hurt. I think on average we'll probably see above 6% this year, maybe below 6% next year. But then some economists are predicting that food inflation may actually still increase this year to above 13%. So it's might not be that great a Christmas, unfortunately.
Yeah, we need Christmas. We need people to spend, and they need to have money to spend.
Yeah, and actually the farmers are saying we need rain because at least that negates, you know, that helps kind of keep the food prices low, help the drought issue. So there you go.
Okay.
And then globally, in the UK, jobless claims came out and their unemployment number is still below 5%, 4.9. So it's at an 11-year low, which is very good. A kind of, you know, quite... It's considering we've had Brexit, that's a really good thing to happen. I see the rand broke through 17 to the pound yesterday, but because of this jobless number, actually, we're now trading, the pound is a bit stronger, so we're now trading 17.07.
All right, but for a brief shining moment, we won't do too badly.
Exactly. And then I haven't watched all of the presidential debate, But I'm guessing that Hillary Clinton won the debate because the Mexican peso is trading at its highest level in 6 weeks this morning.
By the way, you put up a video of Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yes, on my Facebook page.
Yeah, a while ago. And I thought it was quite interesting because the things he's saying, obviously he's talking about Donald Trump, but it could quite easily be Jacob Zuma that he's talking about, as far as I'm concerned.
I know. It was quite scary, actually, like how he was saying about kind of, what was he saying? It was a deficit of trust or kind of no empathy for kind of your constituents. And very scary, actually.
Well, I'll play that just now and then let people listen in. All right.
Super.
Thanks, Asia.
Okay, and then Asia higher this morning, so hopefully we'll see a bounce.
Excellent. Another good day. We're holding thumbs. All right.
Thanks, Gary.
Cool. Thank you. Anthea Gardner with a quick look at the markets, the money shot.
The trouble at the moment is...
This is Springsteen.
...is you have Donald Trump who is talking about rigged elections. And he's not... He has a feeling he's going to lose now, which, of course, he is going to lose.
You're confident?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to lose. And he knows that. He knows he's going to lose. And he's such a flagrant... toxic narcissist that he wants to take down the entire democratic system with him if he goes. If he could reflect on these things, maybe he'd have... but he's such an unreflective person. And he simply has no sense of decency and no sense of responsibility about him. And the words that he's been using over the past several weeks really are an attack on the entire democratic process.
And is that dangerous?
Yeah, it is. I think it's very dangerous. He does have a lot of people's ears. And I don't think he's going to go quietly into the, you know, gently into the good night. I think he's going to make as big a mess as he can. And I don't know what that's going to mean, but we'll find out shortly.
Sure. How's that, huh? Bruce Springsteen putting it out there. And as I was saying to Anthea, that could quite easily be him describing our president as well. Right?
Sure.
All right, when we come back, it's Justice Malala time, everybody. CliffCentral.com